Testing.
Okay, good morning, folks. It's 10 a.m. Friday, August 5th, 2022. We'll call the workshop into session. First item that we have is the roll call. And I didn't have that on. We're going to have to verify everybody's here. We've got a quorum, though. Okay. All right, Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem.
Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem is present.
Okay, I'll try to remember everybody here. Michael Blomquist, place two.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two is present.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three.
Tony Cantorino, place three, present.
Thank you. Linda Nash, place four.
Linda Nash, place four, present.
Okay, thank you. Sam Halaby, place five.
Sam Halaby, place five, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. Julie Helsham, City Secretary.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. And we do have a quorum. Next item is item number two, presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code Section 551.042 prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone that wishes to address the council at this time? Anyone to address the council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item number three, discussion items. Number one, review and discuss the FY 2022 slant 2023 budget. Finance Director.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Aisha Lelie, Finance Director. On August 2nd, the fiscal year 2023 budget was filed with the City Secretary and provided to each of the council members. You should have been provided with an updated fee schedule section. Susan did not replace it for you. It should be provided to you on your area. I almost said dais, but we're not in council chambers. those of you who got the book off of the website, that has already been updated, so you do not have an updated schedule to replace. Mr. Mitchell, did you want to say something before we get started?
Yes, thank you, Aisha. I just want to say a few things to council before Aisha kind of starts rolling into the budget presentation. Council, what you have before you today, of course, is a balanced budget, which we're tasked with providing you with. It provides for a tax rate of 0.58, our current rate being 0.65. This budget sets the foundation, council. I want to point that out, and Aisha will spend some time later in discussing that, to lift many projects in coming years. I know the council has kind of tasked us with projects, particularly like Station 3. You know, how do we put legs on that and make it happen? Well, this budget is the beginning of that. You will see as we go into some of the long-range projects, they're out years. We do have some of that penciled in now and have a plan for how we're going to tackle that. I just want to say, in conclusion, Mayor, I'm thankful for our finance staff. Aisha and her team did a great job putting this budget together, and as well, just kudos to my directors. A lot of hard work and preparing their budgets, so a big thank you to my team in that. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Aisha.
All right, so again, we're here to discuss and take your first look at the fiscal year 2023 budget. Excuse me. Starting with the calendar, as stated, this was properly filed with the City Secretary on August 2nd. Today we are going to do the budget retreat and provide you with a detailed presentation of the budget and tax rate that was used to prepare this budget. Copies have been provided to the library staff, and it has been posted onto the website as of this morning so that the public can view either on the website or come to the library to view it. On August 9th, we will be prepared to present a preliminary property tax rate and schedule the tentative meetings for doing the public hearing, adoption of the budget and fee schedule, and ratification of the tax rate increase as proposed below on August 23rd, and then as well as doing the public hearing on the tax rate and adoption of the tax rate on September 13th. Excuse me. Then following that calendar, and that calendar HB 3195 and personnel section, based on the use of the 0.58 cents tax rate, this proposed budget will raise more total property taxes than last year's budget by $551,735, or 4%, and of that amount, $180,556 is tax revenue to be raised from new property added to the tax roll this year. So for today, we'll be following kind of this format to go over the proposed budget. I'm sorry, now my nerves are getting to me. We'll go over the special revenue funds, proprietary funds, fixed asset capital projects, and coronavirus funds. Coronavirus funds are typically part of the special revenue funds, but we're going to discuss it as part of the capital projects because a lot of your capital projects are contained in the coronavirus funds. Then we'll talk about the tax rate, debt service and general funds, which the tax rate is in, and then we'll do some discussion about the fee schedule changes. And at any time, of course, I will stop and answer any questions, and we'll have further discussions about outside agency requests and such so that some decisions can be made on those. Beginning with that, taking into consideration all of your funds, your beginning fund balance is a total of $27,987,405. Total revenues are proposed at $55,685,200, which is a 3.5% increase over the projected amount for the current fiscal year. Your total expenditures is $64,698,000, which is an increase of 19.3% over the current fiscal year. This is going to decrease the fund balance next year by over $9 million, and that ends with a fund balance proposed of $18,974,605. Taking out of that the restricted funds of $885,611 and your reserve requirements of $7.8 million, the proposed ending fund balance of all funds is $10,254,119. So again, we'll start with your special revenue funds. And again, we won't be talking about the coronavirus funds until later. So you have your employee benefits funds, which is your pass-through for the insurance payments. That has a proposed beginning fund balance of $5,461. Again, this is just a pass-through for the employee insurance payments. That's why that's so low. It's basically just the interest that has been earned as that money goes in and out. Total revenues of $200, no expenditures, an increase of fund balance of $200, and an ending fund balance proposed of $5,661. This fund balance is restricted, and there is no fund balance requirement. Is there any questions on this fund that I can answer at this time?
Okay, seeing none, please continue.
Yes, sir. Moving on to your restricted court fund. That got a little messed up. And your beginning fund balance is proposed at $209,539 with a total revenues of $95,400, which is a mixture of your interest income and the restricted court fines. Your total expenditures of $100,000 includes transfers to general funds of $16,000 from building security. That will be to reimburse the general fund for alarm fees and half of a risk management officer that will be housed in administration but split with municipal court, which is why we'll be able to reimburse the general fund half of that because it will be half funded by or half in municipal courts. $4,000 transfer from Administration of Justice to reimburse the general fund for training, membership dues and supplies from the municipal courts. A $15,000 transfer from court technology for equipment maintenance and equipment supplies. $30,000 transfer from local truancy diversion funds for the juvenile case manager position, and $35,000 from the Child Safety Fund for the youth health coordinator position that is in PD. In your binders, you did have included a list of all the restrictions that are posed on all the restricted court fines, and these are all allowable reimbursements to the general fund based on those restrictions. So with that, with those expenses, you'll have a decrease in fund balance of $4,600 and an ending fund balance of $204,939. Even though there is a decrease in the fund balance, your ending fund balance is not a deficit because there's an adequate beginning fund balance available to cover that decrease. This fund balance is restricted in use, hence the name Restricted Court Fund, and there is no fund balance requirement on this fund. Is there any questions I can answer on this fund for y'all?
Seeing none, please continue.
Yes, sir. So next we have the Hotel Motel Fund. We're proposing a beginning fund balance of $537,011 and total revenues of $131,200. Total expenditures are proposed and currently in the proposed budget of $22,500, which is the Harker Heights Chamber's request. This allows an increase in the fund balance of $108,700 and an ending fund balance of $645,711. This fund balance is restricted in use, and also in this section of your binder, we did include the hotel motel, the hotel tax two-step provided by an article by TML that they post yearly. And you also had historical information about the revenues and the expenditures of this fund. There is no fund balance requirement. More details on the outside agency request from the chamber, which is also included in your packet. I know they presented in June, but just for your review, we wanted to make sure you had that application again. But they are requesting $10,000 for advertising, $7,500 for promotion of the arts, $5,000 for events for a total request of $22,500. So I'd like to ask the council for a direction on this. So Mayor, if you would lead that discussion, please.
Okay, and council, we had, had seen this previously. Any concerns, any comments on these items for the chamber? Okay, do we have consensus on that then? We're good with that? Okay. Is that the direction that you need?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right.
Okay, can you hold on for a second?
Yes,
just,
sir.
Can you speak to the ending fund balance since the hotel motel fund about why we continue to maintain that balance and really look hard at what we expend those funds for?
Yes, sir. So, excuse me, I'm just going to the...
Actually, I can jump in there on this one, too.
Okay.
I think what the mayor's alluding to on this is that, you know, these funds are restricted for certain uses. One of those uses is for a historical park. And that, of course, the city acquired Comanche Gap Park to construct a historical park out there at some point. And that is one of the reasons that council has slowly been building up this balance. We don't have that many hotels, so it doesn't build up that fast, particularly with some expenditures coming out of here. But this balance will be important in lifting that park at some point in terms of doing the construction of that historically related park.
And just as a further comment, when the city negotiated with the Alford family to purchase that property, just under 20 acres, is that we paid that out over 4 years, which is their desires because of tax reasons, but also that money came out of hotel motel that did not come out of the general fund. And so again, this is something that we're looking forward to improve the quality of life, have a park that's a little bit different. And again, we've made that liaison with Bell County Museum as the council and the staff were able to make a tour over there with the director, Mr. Coleman Hampton, and also y'all have walked the ground out there. So that's something that we look forward to, and that's why we continue to basically fence this money, looking forward to when we can get that thing started. Okay, thank you. And please continue.
Mayor.
Okay, Sam, go ahead.
Sam Heller, Place 5. Can you please refresh our memory on the chamber, what we did last year comparing to this year?
So last year, we also gave them $22,500. Yes, sir. And I just wanted to add on to that. If you look at your forecast on page 2 of that section, by 2028, we're looking to have about an ending fund balance of $1.3 million. In discussions with Mr. Mitchell and Mr. Bark, that still may not be enough to begin that, but we're thinking that maybe possibly grants and other things may assist us in getting that at least started. So.
Mayor, one other point I want to make on this, the question that was had about the chamber. This is just a portion of what the chamber has requested. Okay, make sure you're aware.
I just want to know what's, if it's still the same as last year.
Yes,
just a question.
Okay, Michael.
Yes, sir. This is Michael Blanc, Councilman Place 2. Aisha, does the increase in the fund balance forecasted in for the new hotel that's going to come online this next year?
Yes, and with all the delays, we're not quite sure, so we kind of kept that kind of low in order to not overly project that.
So you were very conservative then
yes.
on that. So it could be better than that.
Maybe. It could be better.
All right, thank you.
Yes, and as well as Super 8's closing for many more months than we expected, kept that.
They're back online
amount.
Now, as far as I understand.
Yes, they are back online. We just received a payment. Was that this month? Yes, we just received a payment in July.
Right.
So,
thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir, thank you. So now on to the proprietary funds in your drainage fund. There is no proposed increase, your proposed beginning fund balance is $141,848 with total revenues projected at $884,900. There's no proposed rate increase in this fund, so that revenue is without a rate increase to the drainage fee. Your total expenses of $978,000 include a citywide 3% COLA, which is for all departments citywide, but again, we're just talking about drainage fund right now. And we're also proposing a CDL stipend of $50 a month for those with that hold a CDL, which equates to $600 a year. And there aren't any new positions proposed for the drainage fund. This will create a decrease in the fund balance of $93,100. And this is due to expenses exceeding revenue due to inflation and recruitment and retention activities. This will result in an ending fund balance of $48,748. And this ending fund balance is not a deficit because there's an adequate beginning fund balance to cover the expenses, even though they are more than your revenues. And in the drainage fund, there is no fund balance requirement. Any questions regarding this fund?
Okay. Any questions from the council? Yeah, I had just one question. Can we have more explanation on the CDL stipend? What drove that?
I'm sorry, what drove
the CDL stipend?
I'll let Mr. Mitchell.
I'll be glad to jump in there, Mayor. I just wanted to point out to council. You see us doing some things like that in this budget. Obviously, it's been hard to attract and retain people. CDLs have become very expensive to obtain and to keep. And so those individuals are sought after by other organizations, and we tend to lose those, as other cities have as well. So one of the ways to address that is to compensate for that.
Good.
Okay.
Mayor.
Yes, go ahead, Michael.
This is Michael Bonkowitz, Councilman Place 2. Aisha, on the drainage fund, you know, we had a decrease there. You're showing $93,100 with a projected ending fund balance of $48,748. Do you see that projected to carry forward with that decrease going into potentially into the next year with inflation the way it's been? Because you started out with a high balance, which was nice, so you're not going into going negative, but that's a big drop. So what do we look at thinking for the next time around?
Okay, so on page 3 of that section is the forecast through fiscal year 2028. And We are looking at, in the next few fiscal years, like 2024, we'll see a decrease in fund balance of 7,000, and then a decrease in fund balance of 3,800 in 2025. A major thing going on with the drainage fund is there's a stormwater permit that we're paying for right now. So that's an increase in the professional fees. So that will start to, that's why you're seeing that decrease in the decrease in fund balance over the years. So right now we're just having to, that extra expense right now.
So the assumptions you make today based on inflation, what were you calculating? Are they gonna carry forward into the out years?
Yes, but we'll be able to support that with the growth of the city in revenues.
Okay, and then this will be a across the board, it's gonna be hitting probably every aspect where we talk about a COLA of 3%, and if inflation is sitting around 9%, it's not looking good to help, you know, our employees when we're not keeping them up with the current rate to be able to, they're losing ground basically. So that's something that we need to be aware of and cognizant of to, you know, we don't wanna get into this boat where we continue to pay our employees less and less each year based on the inflation eating into their pay.
Well, that's something that we review annually and update our forecasts based on that.
So that might be something that would be, it might increase, you know, if we have to pick up the COLA, and that would cause us to decrease the fund balance even faster then.
Right. And if you'll, again, look at the forecasts, we're forecasting transferring out about 400,000 every year, and that's where that would change. We would decrease those transfers out in order to support any increases in expenses.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, anybody, no? Okay, good, please continue.
Yes, sir. Then to the sanitation fund. Your beginning fund balance proposed here is $195,372. Your total revenues without a rate increase in sanitation is $2,627,300. And this includes both the drop site and garbage income. No rate increase to either of those. Your total expenditures here is $2,755,200. There are no new positions proposed in this fund. This also has the 3% COLA, as well as the CDL stipend of $50 a month. The decrease in fund balance here is $127,900, with expenses exceeding revenue due to inflation and recruitment and retention activities. And the ending fund balance here is $67,472. Your ending fund balance again is not due to is not a deficit because there is an adequate beginning fund balance and there is no fund balance requirement to this fund either.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. And this kind of another issue, and I've discussed this with some of the city staff, but for the CDL stipends or stipends in general across the city, are those something that are periodically updated and compared with other cities and municipalities to see if we're competitive with that? Because, you know, I don't want to see where we're not recognizing our employees for those type of accomplishments or those accreditations where they might go to another city and get more money or something. So are we staying competitive with that?
It's my understanding that's why we were adding this stipend, is to be competitive with other cities.
Okay, because I know that in specifically along the lines of, and I've had discussions with Leona on this, for looks like some of the fire and police certifications as well. You know, we want to be able to retain the best. You know, you can't grow those skill sets overnight, so we want to make sure that those stipends are competitive and incentivize people. And it might not just be the stipend, it might be we pay for their schooling to get those certifications and then maybe have them sign on to an obligation, a service obligation or a contract to keep them here. So that's something that we want to be able to use in our tool bag to incentivize and keep the best employees and take care of them as well. Thank you.
I'll just add to that, that this has really been the year of compensation studies. I think Leona would agree with that. I think that we've heard other HR departments across the state get kind of fatigue from the compensation studies coming in and the request, and some cities are saying, well, if you're not a peer city, even they won't fill one out on you anymore because they're so busy with other compensation studies. So I think we have a good handle because Leona gets a lot of that data back in terms of what those other cities are doing. So when we contribute that information, a lot of times she gets back what the other cities provide as well. And so I think we have a good feel for kind of what's going on in the market around us. I mean, obviously, in some of the markets, we just can't chase. I mean, they're escalating at rates that make no sense. We've lost employees to those markets. We know that. But where we can make some fixes, we're trying to do that.
Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir. So now the utility fund. Your proposed beginning fund balance is $4,508,093. With total revenues proposed at $10,996,200. Again, there's no rate increase. We just increased rates last year, and we do try to flip-flop those rate increases every other year. Your total expenditures are $11,879,500. This does include an addition of a customer service clerk to water administration, 3% COLA as well, and CDL stipend of $50 a month. Also, your water purchases line item does include Harker Heights' portion of WCID's debt for the new generators. They are expected to close late August, so we should have the updated numbers, final numbers for that debt to include just before the budget is adopted. Your professional fees that are included in here in your budget at a glance, it does describe that $750,000 was added to that for the lead and copper compliance revision, which is one of those unfunded mandates. We did receive an updated cost schedule, so that will also be presented to you before the budget is approved. We've got to work out those numbers and get that in as well as into the forecast because that is a five-year schedule that they provided to us. So we'll get those numbers updated as well prior to budget adoption and get that explained to you as well so that you know the impact of that on the budget.
Actually, we can kind of pause on the lead and copper right there for a second.
Yes, sir.
Mark, can you speak to just the lead and copper for council a little bit, just in terms of that unfunded mandate, what it's requiring us to do?
So the EPA has mandated all cities in the United States, just not Texas, to conduct an inventory of their water service lines within the city. So what that means is physically, most cases, cities don't have adequate records to show what that material is, the service line from the meter to the house. And so what that will require is field work going out there and potholing that service line 6 feet on each side of the meter and then identifying what kind of material it is. If it is a lead line, then the city is on the hook make sure that gets replaced if the resident is not financially able to fix it, then the city would be on the hook to replace, pay for that replacement cost. So the deadline for the compliance is June 17th of 2024, and we have been working on that this past year, pretty hot and heavy. Right now we have probably about a $3 million probable cost to get us to 2024. That would include the field inspections and all of the engineering associated with that. But just to let you know, in Harker Heights, we are on reduced monitoring, so we have very low lead levels in our system. So when we take those samples, we take them from residences. We just finished, of the 30 samples we took, all of them were less than the detection limit. We had one that was still under the action level, was detected. So our system is in really good shape as far as lead and copper, but we are still required to do this, the study, the inventory,
Thank you, Mark. And I just want to make council aware that, again, we're looking at probably $3 million or $3 million plus in terms of that. We don't feel like we have an issue with lead in the city. As Mark mentioned, from our samples, we don't see it. And just to the age of the city, there probably will be some areas that may have some, but most likely most of the city does not, just because it kind of developed after a lot of the lead products were used. But the cost that you hear is not necessarily replacement cost. We're talking about, in this case, this is mostly field study cost. I think most all of that is field study cost. It's just very expensive to hire crews to go out to every residence and dig up on their service meters and make those determinations and do the reporting. And so I just want to make sure council's aware, fully aware of that. And again, it was an unfunded mandate, and it will impact our utility rates.
Go ahead.
This is Michael Bonquist, Councilman Place 2. Aisha, on page 3, line item 805, transfers to capital projects. Is that the WCID generator that we're sending money out to?
No, sir. Let me see here. You go to page 8. And then under water purchases, you'll see the lines total personnel, then supplies, maintenance, water purchases. And under water purchases, it says WCID number 1, debt paid by Harker Heights. It's in that total amount. So you'll see from 2022 projected to 2023 budget, that amount goes up. That's why that amount goes up. It includes the generator debt. So, excuse me, the water purchases line item, WCID bills us in total for our usage of water, our debt, our part of the debt, of the election water, charges for water, everything. So that's all included in that water purchases line item.
Okay. So would that be on a transfer out line there on the front summary?
No, sir, it's on the water purchases line.
I was just trying to see if it was rolled up in the summary so we could see it.
Yes,
as a snapshot.
It's on page 2 on the about 3/4 of the way where water it says purchase. Water purchases.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Please continue.
Yes, sir. So then you have a decrease in fund balance of $883,300. Your expenses do exceed your revenues due to unfunded mandates, the inflation and recruitment and retention activities. Your ending fund balance is projected at $3,624,793. Your ending fund balance is not a deficit because there is an adequate beginning fund balance. And your fund balance requirement for this fund is 3 months of operating expenses. So it's set at $1,883,250. Of course, again, with those two changes that will occur that I let you know about, this fund will change those amounts, and we will bring those back to you when we get those numbers updated. Okay. So next, we'll talk about fixed assets funds. Your beginning fund balance is proposed at $97,174. Your total revenues are transfers in, and they're at $1,332,800. Your total expenditures coming out of the fixed asset fund is $1,249,400. And some of your fixed asset purchases are also going to be made from the coronavirus funds. Your proposed purchases are listed in the fixed asset fund section on page 5. Excuse me. And they're listed under proposed transfers and proposed cable PEG. Those that are listed under proposed cable PEG, once they're purchased, that actual amount will be reimbursed to the fixed asset fund by the cable PEG fund. You'll also notice that the ladder truck that we're proposing to purchase and the street sweeper are listed under ARPA. Those are being proposed to be purchased through the coronavirus state and local recovery fund funding. And those are being purchased under the revenue replacement provision of government services category. Not going out for a lease, especially on the fire truck, on the ladder truck, excuse me, saves the money, saves the city money, not only on interest rates right now, but keeps us from using our debt allowance. We're only allowed to do so much debt every year. So is there any, let me finish going through here, I'm sorry. If there's gonna be an increase in fund balance of $83,400, this will allow us any wiggle room for any increases on pricing, and an ending fund balance of approximately $180,574, and there is no fund balance requirement on this fund. Is there any questions I can answer on this fund?
Okay. All right, please continue.
Yes, sir. So next we have the Capital Projects Fund. So with your capital projects, we're proposing a beginning fund balance of $7,694,450 with total revenues of $5,074,400 and total expenditures of $12,156,000. With this fund as well, you're gonna have purchases made from coronavirus funds. Talk about some of those purchases. Some of these projects in here were also going to need to be updated before adoption. We've had some engineering cost changes for Rummel Road and Second Belt Press due to some additional work that's going to be needed to be done on those projects. We also just had the bid openings for the FM 3481 sidewalks and the 2022 street improvements yesterday. So those costs will also need to be updated as well. So with that, as proposed currently, you're gonna have a decrease in fund balance of $7,081,600. Your expenditures exceed revenues due to over 2.8 million in expenditures being funded from bond proceeds, which is revenue received in prior years. And prior year transfers are funding the completion of projects that began in fiscal year 2022. As you know, being able to complete projects as well as getting supplies for projects has been difficult. So a lot of the transfers we've already made in anticipation of completing those projects, the money is already there, so we're still extending those projects' completion and expenditures into the next fiscal year. Your ending fund balance is projected at $612,850. Again, this is not a deficit because there's an adequate beginning fund balance, and there is no fund balance requirement. I would like, if you would, go to the Capital Projects Fund section. I wanted to point out a few of the things that are forecasted on your summary page, which is that first page in that section. And it is the last tab in that first line of tabs. I know the print is very small, I do apologize.
You're on page one?
Page one, yes, okay. Sir, of the Capital Projects section. If you look in the building projects, the last line there, you have your fire station number 3 set out to FY 2027 at about $2.5 million there and another $2.5 million in 2028. In park projects, you've got several projects that we're projecting to do in starting 2024. You've got a splash pad at 300,000 which, Jeff, I do have that update. I just have to get that updated. Some soccer field renovations, hike and bike trail, and trail at soccer, at the soccer, summer soccer complex, summit soccer complex. Sorry, getting tongue-tied here. And of course, we've got, as always, the annual street projects down at the bottom, under street projects, the very last line. But if you move up, you'll also see Warriors Path Phase 3, which is going from, if I remember correctly, Pontotoc towards Old Nolanville. And as well as Comanche Gap Road realignment and Miller's Crossing improvements and possible roundabout. So there's a lot of projects that the city would like to do, but with that, again, we've got that 0.58 tax rate planned into this budget. And using those reserves, but without that, we can't do this these projects in the out years. If we don't have reserves to utilize, we can't do these projects without money. We can't transfer money from the general fund over. If you read in your budget at a glance, in which I'll get to soon, we're moving about $3 million from the general fund to assist with projects. You'll see in the, on the second page, excuse me, in your revenues for your non-bond revenues, in your transfers, you're moving $3 million from general fund, $1.5 million from utility fund, $50,000 from utility connect fees, $300,000 from drainage fund, and $200,000 from sanitation fund next year alone to get some projects done. And that's still with doing some projects with coronavirus funds. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is it takes money to do these projects. So just keep that in mind, not just this year, but in future years when you're setting the tax rate. Mr. Mitchell.
Yes, I want to point out, the mayor wanted me to mention, and this is the point, Mayor, I think it's good for the, right, the bulk solid waste collection center. You'll note that it's listed in there as well. Some dollars are assigned to that. That's to move the transfer site from where it is to up where the Public Works Yard is currently located. Also, Council, I want to point out, you'll note the new one that's now rolled into this is the Chaparral Road upgrades. You're starting to see that come in. So, again, one of the things y'all asked us to do in prior budgets as well as throughout this year is to try to start putting some legs to some of these things. You know, instead of we talk about them and say we can't get there, how can we get there? Well, you're starting to see them roll into this long-term forecast here, and that is how we're trying to approach them. And so we just wanted to make sure we pointed it out when we got to this section, so I appreciate that, Aisha.
Yes, sir. Is there questions from the council on capital projects?
Any questions from the council?
Sir, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Aisha, you you alluded to in the beginning talking about the capital funds project, there were some numbers that were still going to change, you thought. Where do you see us with the potential changes? Is it going to be a greater decrease then with, or do you anticipate, or do you know at this point?
There may be some new projects that we have to move to a future year. Okay. I can't decrease anything that has already started. I can't change those, but we may have to move some of the new projects to a future year. It's something I have to look at. Mark already ran to my office after the bid openings and wanted me to make a decision, and I said, Mark, I gotta get ready for the budget retreat.
Right.
So we're gonna look at this after this meeting and see where we're at.
So if inflation stays the way it is, you know, obviously the longer we wait, the more potential we have for growth in all of those costs across the board. So that's something we just need to pay attention to, mm-hmm, because it can really bite you when things start growing like that.
Yep.
All right.
But
thank you.
Without money, there's not much we can do.
Okay. Anything else? I just got one comment. As you look at the Warriors Path Stage 3, just like we had on 1 and just like we're having on 2, which we're getting ready to do, KTMPO has that on there. So there'll be assets that'll either come from state or feds that'll assist us, as well as the city of Nolanville, as well as Bell County, as far as taking care of those projects as we go forward. The other question that I have, just a rhetorical question, when's the last time the city borrowed money?
Oh. It's been so long, I have to look. So the last one we did was a refunding, so 2019.
The last time we actually went out just for actual debt?
2019.
Right, okay, so the thing is, we're making do with what we have.
That's right.
And because of what is out there as far as being able to borrow money and the impact on our rate, all that works in, okay, to be able to do that. So it shows that we're having a prudent use of the revenues that we have to take care of the needs that our citizens have. And again, it's a moving target, as you've shown us there. Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council? Okay, Michael.
Just to highlight there, Aisha, just, I know you said it up front in your statement up here, but there was no forecasted for any kind of going out for any kind of bond. So that's accolades to you and your finance department in managing the city's funds that we do get in, maximizing, again, we'll talk about this later, I'm sure, with the maintenance and operation expenditures versus servicing our debt. You know, we have very little debt that we're servicing. So that's a kudos to being able to spend without having to go out and borrow money with what we get. So that's an awesome story there. Thank you.
Okay, please continue.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have the coronavirus fund, which is going to be that second tab from the back. We're projecting a beginning fund balance of $24,300 with total revenues of $4,924,700 and total expenditures of $4,919,700. $3.2 million of those are going to be your capital projects, and $1.6 million are going to be fixed assets. Those two fixed assets are the two I mentioned when we were discussing fixed assets, the ladder truck and the street sweeper for streets. This will be an increase in fund balance of $5,000, and it will create a ending fund balance of $29,300. This fund is restricted in use, and there is no fund balance requirement on this fund. Is there any questions on the coronavirus fund?
Okay, any questions? Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir. So the topic everyone has been waiting for, the tax rate for fiscal year 2023, or the 2022 tax rate. In your budget at a glance was this graph on, not in your budget at a glance, in your transmittal letter on page 2 was this glance on the lost ad valorem tax revenue.
Okay, is everybody with or on that?
That's kind of.
You got it?
It's up here somewhere. There it is.
Page 2.
Page 2 behind the first tab.
Okay, everybody there? Okay, all right, please continue.
Right. So this is just a look over the years of how that ad valorem tax revenue has grown. You can see just looking at the graph how much that has grown. So this year, based on the information we've been provided, excuse me, we are projecting that it is 22.7% higher than what the levy was the prior year. We are looking to lose another $3.2 million from property revenues from 100% disability exemptions in the 2023 fiscal year. As Mr. Mitchell always states, it's not that we don't feel that the veterans aren't deserving of this exemption. It's just that we feel that we should be reimbursed in some way from the state. The state did this, implemented this exemption, so there should be some kind of exactly relief. Thank you, Ms. McMahon. But in the meantime, we still want to provide you with this information to let you know where this is tracking. So this is where we are this year. So the proposed tax rate.
Why don't you hold on right there? Do you want to say anything about that? I'll make a comment. On the disabled veterans property tax exemption is that the city has been very actively involved in that. The last few years, we've made numerous trips down to Austin to give testimony before different committees about there. Very close coordination with Representative Brad Buckley, Representative Hugh Shine. Again, as we go forward for this next legislative session, we're already working on that issue, maybe to attack it in a different way. One of the things is we're not the only city. We're probably the most impacted by that, except for probably Nolanville, as far as this exemption. But there are numerous cities within the state of Texas. I think there's 27 of them that are affected by this, like Schertz and Cibolo outside of San Antonio. I've talked to their folks, and they're really hurting as well down there. So we try to make the take care of our citizens as best we can. Again, the disabled veterans exemption, it's a federal government gives that through the VA. The Texas state government passed this legislation, again, with their concept. I think back when they did that in 2009, their idea of what a 100% disabled veteran was is probably a lot different than what we see on the ground. Okay, so again, it's a unfunded mandate, and it's not sustainable, as you can see on that graph in the out years. So again, just again, as you talk to the folks in our city, again, we're working very, very strongly. Also, I've briefed, and Mr. Mitchell and the staff provided white papers. We've briefed the three corps commander. Again, they need to know that because their soldiers live here. Okay, when they go down range to be able to do things for our country, our city takes care of their families, okay, and takes care of their property. So again, as long as the information gets out there, our U.S. congressmen, they all know about it. Our U.S. senators, they all know about it. Our state senators, they all know about it. So we continue to push this issue. It may not be that evident to the general public, but again, we're still working that. Staff provides a lot of information, especially with Congressman Shine, who's coming aboard, but we've done that also with Congressman Buckley in the past. So again, this is a big deal. And again, that's where our commitment, our mission for our city is to take care of our citizens. And again, we don't want to create any divisive issues about this. I've gone down, I've spoken to the DAV, the American Legion, I've talked to all those guys. So they understand where we're coming from. We're not trying to take anything away from them. It's just that it's almost counterintuitive, okay? Because the state provided this. The reason these guys live in Harker Heights and Nolanville is because of the quality of life. But by this exemption, it undercuts the city's ability to provide that quality of life that they seek after their time in the service. So just want to mention that this is the big deal for the city of Harker Heights. And as well, since Coppers Cove and Killeen, they get compensated by some, but they're not made whole themselves. So they got some significant problems. I think there's probably up around $5 million at least this year. So again, people need to understand what the story is on this and how important it is, but also that we need to be explicitly clear that we're not trying to take anything away from our disabled veterans and their families, okay? All right, Michael.
I just add, it's also Bell County is out, also gets money back too, I believe, Mayor. Has there been any analysis done, Aisha, on the growing loss from year to year? You know, because I know we have new residents that move in that might be DV that attribute to that, but also just the growing property values of the DV residents that are already here. Is it largely more attributed to the growth in the property values across Bell County or specifically in Harker Heights that is driving that growth there? Because I don't see us growing that many new citizens that are DV every year that are making that huge jump every year, as it looks like it's growing exponentially.
Good question. Yeah, I do not know. Did I? Sorry. I did a comparison. I'm just not sure if I. I can get back to you on that.
Okay, that's fine. But, I mean, to me, just looking at it, I would think it would be largely more attributed to the property values themselves, that they're the current residents that are already here. That's why we continue to see it grow like this, as opposed to having a whole bunch of new DVs move in and buy houses. Because, you know, as you talk about in the next chart or next slide page, that we only did 150 permits. You know, I know that the houses do get resold within, but, you know, I just don't see a whole bunch of all of the residents being retired military DV people moving into Harker Heights. So, yeah, I'll get back with you later on that, though. Thank you.
I think that's correct. I mean, I think we'll find that it is definitely a blend that's occurring there. And I think that the market definitely is having a big, big impact on it now in terms of the reappraisals and them going up, as well as you do have individuals who may move in, and you have some who are already here who eventually acquire that 100%, and then they come, even though they live here and have paid taxes up to a point, then they come off the rolls at that point. But I do suspect, no, there's no doubt there's been huge market adjustments, and so that, I'm sure that's a big, big part of this.
Okay. All right, please continue.
Yes, sir. So this slide is a proposed tax rate comparison. The numbers with a single asterisk on the right are the certified taxable values. The cities with a double asterisk, the councils have already approved a preliminary tax rate.
Right, you're on page 6, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. However, this slide is more up to date than your page 6. So, again, we are proposing a 58 cent rate. Belton is, last I was able to obtain, 59.56 cents. Temple, 62.35. Killeen, 63.26 was approved by their council recently. And Coppers Cove, 72.1028 cents. This is a M&O revenue comparison. Your M&O is your maintenance and operations. Oh, sorry, Mr. Bonquist.
I was just going to go back and compare. You know, this is something I talked about a little bit earlier. The maintenance and operation in the INS, servicing the debt there. This is just a snapshot comparison that shows that, you know, with the monies we take in, obviously the numbers on the far right vary from city to city, but just to be able to show from the monies that we do take in, the percentages, and you can do a percentage if you want to figure it out, but it just shows that Harker Heights is maximizing what they take in for maintenance and operation as opposed to servicing the debt. So the monies we're servicing the debt with is much smaller with the monies that we take in on a percentage basis than our neighboring city. So it just shows we're managing our money very, very well. We're not having to go out and borrow money and pay interest on that borrowed money. So that's a really good accolade for our city. So thank you, Aisha, and all your finance folks, and keeping us on track for maximizing our dollars for our citizens.
All right, please continue.
So this is our maintenance and operation revenue comparison. Again, well, I'd like to note that these rates are preliminary. We had not received the formal truth in taxation calculations, so this is just staff's calculations based on this is based on our calculations. I'm sorry. We did receive Bell County Appraisal District's TNT calculation, truth in taxation calculation, this morning. So this no new revenue rate, based on the truth in taxation calculation, is 0.5638. And the voter approval rate is 0.5891. And your voter approval rate adjusted is 0.6099. So for Tuesday's meeting, we will provide a similar table to you that provides you all of this information, so you can make a more informed decision when setting a preliminary tax rate. excuse me, I do apologize. Bell County was having some issues with their software, so I wasn't able to get that information to you for this retreat. But again, it's not very far off from the numbers provided here. So this information is fairly close still as well. Your voter approval rate adjusted is the unused increment amount added to your voter approval rate, and that is your actual rate that you cannot go over. So the 0.6099 would be the rate that you would not be able to go over without taking it to the voters. At this point, we wouldn't be able to take a rate to the voters anyway, so you would not be able to go over 0.6099. Is there any questions?
Okay, Linda.
I have one question, Aisha. So in the no new revenue rate, as well as the rate less one penny, that shows the difference. So that's how much the city would not be taking in, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So for the amount of citizens that we have in Harker Heights, generally speaking, how much would that save them?
Let me go to the next slide. So, and again, this is based on on staff's calculations and not the Bell County truth in taxation, which again, I'll get you the updated information for Tuesday's meeting. But if you take the rate less one penny, that would save someone. The average taxable home value is $256,197. So the proposed rate less a penny would save them almost $26.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, anything else from the council? Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir. Since we're on this slide, using the no new revenue rate as projected by staff would save $39 to someone with the average taxable value home in Harker Heights. And that's all on the tax rate. Is there any other questions on the tax rate?
Okay, please continue. Okay, yes, that's a good time. Time is 11:02, and we'll go take a break for about 10 minutes for comfort.